Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Yeah. This is episode 337, recorded on the 8th of July. On team me, we have Evan, the disjoint, Kale, Kendall, and our special guest today, Stefano, who is going to be talking about Azure Data Lake Storage. Before getting into our special guest, we actually have a ton of updates that we want to go through. Does anyone want to go first?
I'll go first. Does that sound good? Okay. Awesome. So yeah, I have like a few that I want to talk through. So one of them is the form recognizer going into GA. So this is a really cool cognitive service. We've been talking about it for a while now, but essentially it allows you to extract text and structure from documents, specifically, you know, form style documents that maybe traditionally have not been something that would be something that's digitized. And so I think that's a really good feature and is really going to help a lot of customers that that have forms that a lot of customers put, you know, data input into, and they want to be able to extract that really easily. And then also we have something that's available as of today, actually, and it's Azure Load Balancer Insights using Azure Monitor for Networks.
You're serious, Kendall. You're going to take that one. Seriously.
Okay, fine. You know what? I'll stop talking. Wait for you to have it.
Nope. Go ahead. Go ahead. Take it. I'm just taking the next containers one.
Nope. I'm giving it to you. I'm done. Okay. I'm moving on to one more because he's going to take that one. So Azure Firewall Manager is GA. So basically, this is something that allows you to have kind of a single pane of glass for managing a variety of firewalls. And so basically, any kind of deployment and configuration in terms of Azure Firewall, you can now manage in a more centralized way. So it does things like being able to apply your security policy, be it regionally or locally. It's integrated with third-party SaaS offerings for advanced security. You can do filter traffic. So there's a lot there, but it's GA in all public Azure regions, which is awesome. So yeah. Now I'll pass it over to Evan. And also, just big shout out to me because I'm 26 and it was my birthday on Monday. So that's another.
Evan, since you were the last to join, Evan, you must sing happy birthday to Kendall by yourself.
Yeah, since I gave you that update, that's your gift from me for my birthday.
only if I get mine in a week, because mine's next week.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, it's birthday time of the year. So thank you for giving my networking one. So Azure Load Balancer Insights. This is actually really cool. This is something the team's been working on for a little while now, which is to take all the insights into whether your load balancer is working, you know, the packets that are flowing, all that kind of stuff, and dump it into Azure Monitor, which is great because now you sort of have a data plane view of the load balancer, which has always been tough because the load balancer is not really a thing that you deploy as a construct, right? As a VM or anything else. Like it's this massively multiplex deployment that we have that goes across a big chunk of our individual clusters. And now this data is going to come through Monitor, which is great, right? This is a really nice advancement over there.
Awesome. You're not going to take a container one?
I didn't see any container ones. Maybe I missed it.
I don't think there are any.
Next.
But
time,
you mentioned it, so I was like, okay, next time.
I have two other ones to talk about. One of them is a little bit of like a superset of what Kendall was talking about with the cognitive services and with the forms tool that she was mentioning there. So there's a good post up here about like a lot of different things that have kind of been enhanced there and on the AI front. And so basically it's talking about building mission critical AI applications, about the natural language processing, about the forms recognizer that Kendall just mentioned, about voice and custom commands and things like that to come along with the text-to-speech stuff that's in there. So pretty nice write-up with a lot of different links in there along with some code samples. So just add on to that. I think that's pretty cool. And the second thing was something that actually I think kind of leaked a little early, it sounded like, but basically there's a nice enhancement to Teams that's happening. And so the official blog is out on that right now. So you can go see the things like together mode, the dynamic views, the filters. There's all kinds of new enhancements and features that are coming for Teams. Probably we should bring someone from the Teams on our podcast here to talk about these because there is a lot going on here. So take a look at that. It's pretty cool.
And then mine was actually also encompassed by the larger AI update that Kayla's talking about, where you can now add voice commands with custom commands. So what that means is now you can program your car to start saying, like, if you want to turn on your AC to a certain degree, or if you want to start your seat heater, or in a room with smart controls, you can use voice commands instead of touching a lot of panels, which is a big concern right now with the pandemic. So I think with the GA of these capabilities, a lot of the controls we usually touch on a day-to-day basis can now be voice-powered. And there's also some speech, natural language processing that essentially lets you say it in multiple different ways, and then the command still knows what you want to do.
Which, going off of that, I don't know if we've talked about this, but there's some really cool updates to, like, the bot framework and how you work with bots on Azure. So I think that's another thing just worth calling out. I'm sure we've talked about actual updates, but just if you go into the Lewis portal, things like that, which, if you're not familiar, Lewis is basically our service that helps you do that natural language processing by having kind of different intents and ways in which you actually communicate something. And then the software can process that and take certain action. But yeah, the Lewis portal has been updated, and there's, like, a lot of really cool stuff with that as well.
Cool. And go ahead, Kale.
No, it's funny. We were talking about a lot of this voice control and activation. I was just watching the new version of whatever it's called, Top Gear, Grand Tour. And they were trying to use the voice commands in, like, some high-end cars, and it was hilarious, like, the results they were getting. Like, they were in a weird country, and it didn't understand where they were, and it was totally funny.
That is excellent. That is excellent. So the last one, and then I guess this actually dovetails into our topic today, so maybe we'll use this as our last announcement, is, and this just sort of boggles my mind, but so we've announced that, so today a single blob can be up to 5 terabytes. We've increased that to 200 terabytes. this is like 40x here. Once we introduce Steven, I may have to ask him, can I do a 400 terabyte file in ADLS Gen 2? But we talk about some of that stuff later. But yeah, so I guess unless anybody else has anything else, I think maybe let's introduce Steven and then get into the static websites capabilities. So Steven, do us a favor, kind of introduce yourself and then share what you do here at Microsoft with us.
Sure. Hey, I'm glad to be on the podcast here. My name is Steven Wu. I'm on the Azure Data Lake Storage team. I'm a PM on this team. My main focus is actually to bring about the blob features onto ADLS Gen 2 and making ADLS Gen 2 a place where you can use both the blob protocol and the HDFS protocol, which would be reminiscent to using the ADLS Gen 2 APIs and using the blob APIs on the same storage account, which is really cool because one thing that we really want to do is make sure that customers don't have a need to create many disparate kinds of storage accounts. And let me give you an example. I was at a conference once and I was talking about data lake storage. And I, was playing the wedding game where you ask people to all stand up and sit down if you reach, like, a certain number that they have, right? And so the number I was asking for is, how many disparate storage accounts do you have, like, different kinds of storage, like disk, blob, data lake storage? And what they, we started from one, and we went, no one sat down, obviously, and we got up to, like, 7 before people really started to, you know, like the last couple people were left at around like 7 or 8. And so that was really news to me, because I'm like, wow, how can we have so many different storage accounts that we make our customers use? And that was mind boggling. That means 7 different sources of truth. And so what we want to make sure that we can do, and what we're striving to do on Data Lake Storage, is make this a single source of truth. You put all your data here. Now you're able to access your data using different protocols. We're starting with Blob and ADLS Gen 2, HDFS protocols, and then expanding to more features so that it's everything in one place rather than everything in many different places.
So maybe let's roll back to sort of where we started, when I reached out to you, because and I don't mean to make fun of any feature, but it was fairly ironic. The feature that sort of triggered this talk was, you know, we announced that you can do a static website in ADLS. And I have used static websites in standard Blob storage. It's awesome. Actually, the integration with VS Code makes it super seamless, which is phenomenal. And, you know, but I sort of emailed you and said, okay, have you ever seen a static website, you know, that's big enough that it has to go in ADLS? And your response back was like, no, we're just trying to make this was a sort of an easy win, and we're trying to expose all the features. And what was news to me was sort of what you were just talking about, is really our goal is to say, we don't really care, you know, like everything is parity feature-wise across these different types of storage, right? Like that's through the, you know, obviously it's down the road a little bit, but that's the Uber goal, is to, you don't have to care.
That's right. Yes. And like you said, hey, you know, static websites is what started this conversation. And yeah, I mean, it's a feature that we know that Blob has. And if you happen to now decide that you want to use Data Lake Storage, you don't have to say, oh, man, I can only, you know, host my static website on Blob and not ADLS Gen 2. So we want to make that easy for people so that when they upgraded to Data Lake Storage, they could easily use the same features without changing any of their applications, changing any of their code, that everything kind of just works. So that's part of our value proposition.
Go ahead, Kendall.
I was just going to make sure that I understand and just kind of like laying it out. So it's the goal isn't Azure Data Lake Storage Gen 2 kind of basically makes Blob storage completely irrelevant or just regular storage accounts. The goal is if you want to use Data Lake, that's great, but you should be able to do everything in Data Lake. You shouldn't have to also continue to have, you know, a secondary Blob storage. The goal is to kind of centralize on one or the other, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're pushing all customers from a roadmap perspective in one direction, right? I just want to clarify that.
That's correct.
For listeners.
Yeah, okay. I mean, some people can still use Blob storage, but we're saying ADLS can be your single source of truth.
And is the thought of using Blob or ADLS as a progression? Because I think I was hearing that when you want to like expand or when you want to upgrade, then you move over to ADLS. Is that kind of a process that people go through? Or what are the decision points that developers or customers should make when they're first deciding what storage solution they want to go with?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, if you're storing things like, hey, I'm just going to back up a bunch of data, a bunch of images, there's nothing wrong with using, you know, Blob storage. You know, Blob storage makes sense. You know, you're just dumping a bunch of stuff and blobs, images, whatever, inside Blob storage. Where ADLS Gen 2 gets interesting is if you want to run analytics on that data, right? Now you're thinking, okay, hey, I want to, I have all this data. I don't know what to do with it, but I've stored it just in case I need it. Now I want to run analytics on it. What ADLS Gen 2 is great for is it's tuned for analytics performance. So you're able to get really good performance on ADLS Gen 2 to run those analytics quickly. And, you know, time is money, right? The faster you can run it, the more money you can save in terms of compute, which is a lot more expensive than storage. And so the other thing that opens it up to is, hey, I'm a Blob customer and I have a bunch of, you know, images or archive data that I've stored for a long time. Hey, now I want to actually do something with it. Now, you know, we can consider upgrading to Gen 2 and being ADLS Gen 2 so that we can leverage ADLS Gen 2 to do analytics on that data. And at the same time, I think what I was talking about before was, hey, you still have the same features. You don't have to go rewrite a bunch of code to make ADLS Gen 2 work. And the other really beautiful thing is, like, because we've integrated the blob protocol into ADLS Gen 2, that opens up the blob ecosystem as well, right? So if you're a third party or a first party application or service that has a blob connector that ran really well in blob before, and now you're like, oh man, I have this other storage, you know, platform that I need to, you know, create another connector for, and that's not true, right? Because now you already have that blob connector, it already works through the blob endpoint, and so that connector will automatically work on ADLS Gen 2. So there's that wonderful magic there that can happen. So instead of needing to rewrite a whole bunch of connectors, we can just leverage the entire blob ecosystem as is.
So it is, and I'm sort of, I think Kendall, your question was really good, because I think I was sort of thinking it was all going to be one thing, and that's definitely not what Steven's saying. Is, as you go further down the road, is the thinking that this will even apply to, like, the files type scenarios where I want to do SMB or I want to do SIFS, or is this sort of stopping at the not raw storage scenario, but that may, I can't think of a better term for that, where I'm sort of just saying, hey, I want to have this storage place where I can put a bunch of blobs, and those blobs can be anything, or is this going to go higher up the stack to sort of the higher order protocols?
Yeah. Great question. Definitely. This is going to go up the stack and have those other protocols that you're talking about. It's on our roadmap to kind of incorporate their protocols as well. And you'll shortly see more announcements for those different protocols. I won't let the air out of the balloon right now, but
we do have Ignite coming in a few weeks, right?
Yeah, I don't want to steal Ignite's thunder. So
yeah.
But yeah, you'll start seeing more of these on ADLS Gen 2, which is really the beauty of it, right? Like I said, instead of seven places where you need to store data, this can be the place.
Yeah, one question I had was around performance. Has there been any changes there with Gen 2 storage? And what should people expect in terms of throughput and performance? Is this going to be peaks and valleys, or how does it kind of scale from that perspective?
Yeah, So you've probably seen blob storage, and to be very clear, ADLS Gen 2 is built on blob storage, right? Which is why we can leverage both blob and the HDFS ADLS Gen 2 kind of protocol. And so blob has very stated, bandwidth limits. You know, it's all very laid out in a doc on Azure Docs, and you know exactly what you're getting. On ADLS Gen 2, we are really want the customer to be able to use as much bandwidth as they need to run their jobs, right? So whatever they need, instead of, whatever is listed there, if the customer needs, a whole lot more, and actually the default limits there are much, much higher than what is there on blob. And also, if the customer needs more, they can always contact us and get more bandwidth. And we're there to kind of help customers, guide customers in terms of how to tune their jobs appropriately to make good use of that bandwidth, and also to, provide just that number of, that amount of bandwidth that they need to really run their job successfully and quickly. And so, as being in cloud storage, the important thing is bandwidth, right? The more bandwidth you can give to a customer, the better performance you can give, because you can, ingest and read more data at the same time. And so that really is what's going to help you be able to get good performance on ADLS Gen 2, just being having that raw ability to read and write a bunch of data at one time. And so, yeah, to answer your question succinctly, yes, we do expect much better performance in ADLS Gen 2 due to the increased bandwidth limits. And there's also other more nuanced performance things that are better on ADLS Gen 2. And I'll just give you one example of that. For example, if you're doing a rename, which a lot of, jobs, Spark jobs, they do a rename within that job. What happens on ADLS Gen 2 is it becomes an atomic operation where it becomes a metadata change saying, hey, this file name is now this file name, done. Whereas in blob, previously what you had to do was I have to copy this file and copy it with that new name and then delete the old file. And so this continuous copy, delete is, you know, a very expensive operation compared to just a single metadata operation. And so things like that has gotten better on ADLS Gen 2.
Is there specific things like customers need to be aware of? Like you mentioned, they could reach out to you, but like are there knobs and dials that they can tweak themselves when they're setting up their stuff to accommodate for specific like performance needs or any of that kind of stuff? Or is that something that's like, it's kind of black box, and if they hit some sort of limits, they call us?
To the best of our ability, we try to make sure that, you know, we've set all the limits appropriately high so that they don't have to contact us. So the vast majority of customers will never have to, you know, reach out to us to ask for a limit increase of some sort. Of course, you know, there are those customers that are super large and will need to do that. And we're happy to, you know, work with them through their workload and increase their limits appropriately. And that's what we do now and we'll continue to do.
So I have a question that's like a bit of a Kindle question, which means it's out there and may or may not be relevant at all. But if it is, it'll be a good question. So we'll see.
Awesome.
So I am not big in the data space. This isn't really my zone, but I've been hearing a lot about Azure Synapse, which I believe is like SQL data warehouse revamped to some extent. And so I'm just kind of curious, is that something that Azure Data Lake is a part of that pipeline? Is it part of that solution? Is it, you know, have there been changes that have enabled Data Lake to work well with Synapse? I don't know enough there. So I don't even know if these are related at all. So would be curious about your take on that, just because I think that I hear like that's the future of analytics, but I don't know if that's really just specific to SQL data or what.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on a great point, Kendall. So great Kendall question. I like it.
Don't swallow our head too much.
I know. I can see it on the screen getting bigger. to answer your question, you hit it right on the nail. I mean, Synapse is heavily leveraging ADLS Gen 2. So ADLS Gen 2 is the storage that runs on Synapse, right? I mean, pretty much because Synapse will do a lot of analytics, it does a lot of SQL, does ETL, it does Spark processing. A lot of that is run on ADLS Gen 2, and that makes sense because Gen 2 is built for that. And so to answer your question, you know, ADLS Gen 2 is a very integral part of that. That's where you store your data, and then you run your analytics on top of that using Synapse.
Basically like it's kind of like a solution that leverages this at a more like, I guess, fundamental level.
So Kendall, my interpretation of this is that Synapse is sort of designed at big data scenarios, and ADLS goes hand in hand with big data, right? So I think that's sort of my take on that. And so I think, yeah, it's, we're going to let your head swell just a little bit. It's a good Kendall question. this was great, Stephen. You know, we've actually, you know, we've got one of your peers coming on in a couple of weeks to talk about sort of the Gen 1 to Gen 2 migration story at a high level. So you kind of give us some taste of that as well as sort of the future for Gen 2 and blob parity. Anything else that you want to be sure to, you know, call out around this topic before we, you know, call it a day?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, hey, you know, there's definitely a lot of features coming on to ADLS Gen 2. Keep a lookout on that. I mean, like Evan said before, this came about because static websites went public preview. We also had file snapshots go public preview and storage, which is like Worm storage, go public preview for ADLS Gen 2. And then archive went GA as well for ADLS Gen 2. So a bunch of these features are rolling out really quickly. And like I said, we're built on blob storage. So these things come a lot quicker, and the development is accelerated because we're built on blob storage rather than if we build a whole new other platform and started to build features from scratch, right? So you'll see a bunch of these. You'll see announcements for third-party partners, partnering with us. And also, like you said, new protocols. So stay tuned for that.
Excellent. That sounds great. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Kendall, Cynthia, Kale. Any last questions?
I think that does it for me.
Okay, great. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.